Well, you guys have by now seen that my folks are back from China. They were with us last week, and every time they've come home over the last 2 years, we've tried to give them an opportunity to come up and share and just tell what the Lord has been doing with the ministry there in China. And now they're back for good, and so I've asked Dad if he would just kind of give us a little bit of a wrap-up and just share with us some of the things that the Lord's been showing them. So.
All right, Joel. Good morning. Wow, it's good to be back. Time has flown by incredibly fast. It seems like I can remember like it was yesterday. I stood up here and said, I gotta go. And you all looked at me like, no. And seems like the next day that I sat back there in a circle and Sandy and I said, lay hands on us because we don't have a clue where we have to go. And a bunch of people did. And in due time, we found out that we were supposed to go to China. And we prepared and you all supported us. You prayed with us. You went with us. And we have had missionaries come to this pulpit and tell us that we're partners with them. And I would sit there and go, okay, yeah, okay, right, yeah. And I hope you get the opportunity to go over to some other place and find out that that's the truth. On Sunday nights at 10 o'clock, I could close my eyes and I could picture this room and you all. And we felt your prayers. We were blessed by your love and concern for us. So I cannot say thank you enough, but even more than that, I say praise the Lord. You all were partners with us there in China. Sandy is recovering from what we were glad was not a broken ankle. She sprained it real bad. Stepping into a room, in restaurants in China, you meet with your friends, and in this case was a class that I taught for 4 semesters, and they wanted to honor us with a lunch, and there's no building code over there. You open the door, and I mean there's about 1 inch, and then there's a step down. So Sandy's looking at all the students, and all of a sudden there's nothing under her. So she's recovering from an ankle that's pretty sore. Hun, would you like to say anything?
I love you.
The best thing. And I mean the best thing about coming back here is that I see lots of faces that I don't know yet. And that's an answer to prayer. Let's see, there's Danny. Danny, many mornings I was on the road from Utopia down to Batesville. And when we left here, we went to Texas and just went to work and pray and figure out what was next for us. And early in the morning, I had to drive about 100 miles to the oil field every morning. And I'd get reports. There's no pastor yet, no pastor. And if you've ever been in South Texas, there's stretches of road that you can go 70 miles an hour and you don't see anybody for 30 minutes. You don't see another house. You don't see anything. And I would pray going down the road, and I'd just plead, Lord, you got to send them somebody. You got to, and I could see your faces, and I love you so much. And I just would ask God, you got to do something. And this morning, I show up here, and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering that prayer. My heart is full of love for this place. Wow. You know, every time we come to the study of God's Word, there's a principle of Bible study that is indispensable. That principle is total dependence upon God's Holy Spirit to teach us the truth of the Word that we're going to look at. So let's pray to that end right now. Father, we come to you again, and again we borrow a prayer from the Apostle Paul, and we say, please grant unto us that spirit of wisdom and revelation for knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open up the eyes of our heart so that we can see Christ, so that we can know the very power of God through him, so that we can see the riches that we have in Christ. Please open our eyes that we might see that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's see. I used to get out a watch. Okay. I'll set my cell phone here. I really can check the time on this. I wanted to just share this morning some things that I've learned and how I've grown, both Sandy and I, since we left here 3 years ago. I'm going to talk about four things this morning, and they're all just very simple. I almost feel like David, in one of the battle conquests he was in, and he went back to Ziklag, and God taught him some things again that he already knew. His heart was quickened to truth that he had known, maybe forgotten, or maybe now he was learning it in a new way, much more powerful. So I've got four things that I just want to share with you that I've been learning afresh and anew. Number one, the importance of God's Word and people reading it. And you're sitting there going, Tim, you went all the way to China and that's what you learned? Yeah. Tim, we have Gideons tell us that all the time. Yeah. I saw it in ways that I never imagined. How many of us in this room can say, yes, I've read many times the first three chapters of Genesis? Can I see your hand? You've read Genesis, yeah. Okay, you know, we're in a country over there in China, and many of the students that we taught at Jiangxi Normal University never read the Bible. And they come to the university and they hear about it. There's actually classes at our university, the Bible and Western culture, the Bible as a historical book, the Bible, da-da-da-da-da. And actually one time an ELIC teacher was invited to teach that class. He had a degree in history and English, and they invited him to do that. I have degrees in foreign missions and Master of Divinity. They did not invite me to do that. Matter of fact, my boss, the director of the city for ELIC in Nanchang, he had to go three times to the foreign affairs officer, and the third time promise her that I would not cause her any trouble. And then when I got there, he just looked at me and he said, don't do anything. He said, just go and teach, be a great teacher, get to meet everybody, but don't say a word about Jesus. I said, the first semester, yeah. He said, they got to get to know you, they got to understand you're not going to cause them any trouble. So that's what I did. Worked great. But they have classes on the Bible. You can buy a Bible in Nanchang. As a matter of fact, in China, they print most of the Bibles in the world in China. All those nice Bibles with the nice, fine pages, they were put together and they were printed in China. Students would come and say, I've begun reading the Bible. And now all my life, as far as ministry is concerned, I would always say to people, start with the Gospel of John. They always said, well, I started in Genesis. I go, oh, whoa. You got a long way to go, but yeah, we got time. And then they would talk about how they were coming to know Jesus starting in Genesis. I said, you know, I need to look at this again. And then I began to listen to them. And then I began to understand that in the Chinese culture, relationship is everything. Relationship, that's where it starts. You don't pass go, you don't collect $200, you don't do anything until there is relationship and harmony. They're a collective society, relationship, harmony, that's how they roll. And they read Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and they see relationship, and they saw harmony, and now the harmony's broken. And when I understood how they saw Genesis, I just went, oh, this is incredible. Now I got something to work with. And we actually had a study called Return to Harmony. And you talk about just laying it out there that the gospel can be presented. You just start with God and Adam and Eve, and he wanted to have a relationship with them, and he did, and it was wonderful. And then they broke the relationship. And in China, that's a big deal. Families have relationship, and the word is guanxi. You have a real deep relationship that is reciprocal, back and forth, and we get jobs with guanxi. We take care of people with guanxi. We just live with that. And now Adam broke the guanxi with God. Whoa, step back. And then they see how God wants to get it back again. And there we have the story of how he does it with Jesus. I was amazed at how much they learn just reading the first 12 chapters of Genesis. And then an introduction to the gospel message came from this one girl who walked up to me after the movie-directed English corner was over for the night, and she said, I have a question. I've been reading the Bible. Yeah, I'm ready. And she said, why did Noah take clean and unclean animals on the ark? Are you kidding me? But you know what? She came to know Christ, and that was her initial question. The Gideons, they come every year, and I go. I love to go to the Gideon prayer meeting here in Sparta on Saturday mornings. And it's the same thing all the time. You know, the power of God's word. People read God's word and something happens. And I want to tell you, it's not just in places around here. That is around the world. And students in China would read the Bible and something would begin to happen. And I knew that's the power of God through his spirit. The word gets read, something happens. It's unseen, but it happens. The power of reading God's word. Guys, let's never neglect that. Never, ever neglect that. The second thing, the power of prayer. Say, Tim, you did not have to go to China to learn that. I was so appreciative. Someone said this morning, I always felt like this place was a place where prayer was really lifted up, and we believe in it, and we exercise the privilege in prayer, and we do. And I saw it in ways, and I know that, but I saw it in ways that took me from a bachelor's degree to a master's degree. We were challenged. Yes. Could I have that slide? About Nina, yeah. What do we got? A young lady named Nina. And we have prayer cards. As a team, we were challenged to begin praying specifically. And we did. We would meet as a group to pray, and not just about just anything, but we began to pray about things of the ministry that we were doing, things that we had no control over, and if God didn't do it, it wouldn't get done. And it was our great joy as we would write names on cards. And we'd write a name, and SKR meant they were a seeker. And now we were moving along in the process of teaching them about Jesus. And it was always our great joy to cross out SKR. And then if it was a girl, we'd write sister. And we saw answers to prayer. Seekers became brothers and sisters. Seekers came to know Jesus. In a country where officially they're atheist, it is really something to minister to people who've never heard about Jesus. Never. It is something to watch an initial step follow along until one day they look at you and I asked this one girl, I said, is there anything stopping you from believing this? Actually, there were three of them. And one girl just looked up and said, no, I believe everything you've said here. This is what I want in my life. To watch that process, you see God work, and we pray to that end, and there are so many things that would thwart that. I used to think that Satan kept a second home in the country of Haiti. If you've ever been to Haiti, it is a demon-possessed place. Apparently, he has other vacation homes because he keeps some homes in China as well. There is opposition in China from Satan that is just off the charts. But you know what? God is greater than anything Satan can do. And we learned as a team, our team of teachers, we would meet to pray. We learned as a team the power of God through prayer is just off the charts. I'm looking back there, and this is new. The picture's up. It's cool. Okay, let's keep going. You may see some nice pictures behind me. Just enjoy the show and listen along. Oh, man. We prayed. Oh, yeah. It was always a joy. And we kind of had a ceremony when we'd meet to pray. We'd have all the cards and we'd pass out the cards. And then we'd have a ceremony. Somebody'd get the card and we'd all watch. Cross out SKR and put sister or brother. And we'd praise the Lord. We prayed for more guys. We had a lot of girls coming to Christ. We began to pray, Father, we need more guys. And then this little guy, Joshua, shows up. He was in my Thursday night class for the second majors. There was a girl in the class who'd been coming to the library, and she was interested in the Bible, and we identified her. Hey, let's get her into a seeker study. And she was real interested. And she said something to one of her classmates, and this guy heard it. And he came, and his friends sitting there that evening said, he's a Christian. And I, oh, really, is he? You know, you don't, as a teacher, you cannot look too eager. You have to really be, oh, yeah, I've heard about this. And then the student looked at me and said, he's crazy about it. I thought, well, I got to get to know him. Little guy's name was Joshua. His name, they all choose English names. He told me his name was Ham. Jelly, yogurt, grass, purple, I've heard them all. Ham. And so, he he said he was a Christian. His English wasn't so good. So relationship is everything. So we kind of arranged a supper, and I took one of the brothers with me, our good English-speaking or Chinese-speaking colleague. He went. I went. Ham was there. And we're eating, and they're kind of quizzing him. And I said, hey, did you know that Ham's a Bible name? And he went, really, really? I said, yeah, it was one of the sons of Noah. And now that's all I said. He knew right where to go in Genesis. I was impressed. So we're all talking, and he's reading. Now, if you know anything about the sons of Noah and Ham, reading. And all of a sudden, he looks up, and he said, could you give me a new name? Bless his heart. I said, yes, your name's Joshua. I said, he was a mighty man of God. Said, all right. So he's all about being Joshua now. An answer to prayer. An answer to prayer. Bible study with all the sisters. Sandy and I were privileged to get to lead one of the Bible studies each Monday night. These girls were like a sponge. They just soaked up so many truths. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they said, could you explain the problem of the two natures that we have in us? Okay, wow. I said, let's do that next week. And we got into probably the most in-depth study I've done on Christians and the two natures. And they just had their Bibles out and just soaking it up. We enjoyed the fellowship together. But you know how we pray that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? We got to see God answer that prayer. One of the girls who came was a seeker. Her two roommates both had become Christians about 10 months ago. And last fall, they had been my students as freshmen. Last fall, I saw one of them. She said, hey, I've become a Christian. Oh, great. And she immediately said, would you please pray for Cece? I want to get her in front of you so you can share the gospel with her. Okay. She has her own Bible now. She's studying. We don't know if she'll come to Christ, but she has two great roommates who love the Lord, and they're a great example to her. And I want to say this. I got to see firsthand the effect of a life filled with love and filled with Christ. I got to see what effect that has on people who are close to those folks. Roommates coming to Christ because somebody in that room got saved and they saw a change. How many times did we see that? It's incredible. Then, I mentioned last summer when we came back, the third hospital. Through just the providence of God, I met an old doctor who fixed me up and got my gastrointestinal system back working. He was just looking. He had been looking for years, a foreigner who would just come and talk English with his doctors. He was chief of medicine at the hospital. The English corner at the third hospital got started, and you know, it was nothing spiritual, but we knew it had the potential. And as a team, we would gather to pray. And then pretty soon, things began to happen, and we saw some spiritual hunger. We began to develop a very deep relationship with the doctors at the hospital. I was able to share the gospel with them before I left, handed out Jesus films to a couple of them. We said, God, what are you going to do? We're going to leave. He raised up another doctor from another hospital. I met her at a church, the only church in Nanchang that I could legally go to. I met her there. told her about our English corner. She started coming, and when she introduced herself the first time, she told them her Chinese name and then said, "I'm a Christian." Now she goes to the English corner all the time. We have another colleague in Nanchang whose Chinese is great. They love her. We went to restaurants as a whole group. We went to parks. We did a lot of things together. We cried out to God and said, "Oh, please don't let this die." He sent us a Chinese doctor and then a young man who was a pre-med student here in the States. He's staying another year teaching English in Nanchang, a Chinese American. The doctors love him. The old doctor, he's 80 years old now. He and I would sit next to each other because I was the Lao Shur, which literally translated means old master. Yes, you can address me as old master. But I would always sit next to Professor Liu. And one day he wrote something down and slid it over on the paper. And he learned that Matt was pre-med. Matt will come back to America, go to medical school, and he wants to go back to China to practice. And when that was communicated, Dr. Liu, Professor Liu, he wrote on a piece of paper and he slid it over to me. And he said, "I will help this young man however I can." They love him. Next year, the English corner at the number 3 hospital goes on. And we are closer and closer and closer to something that we claimed. That God would save some of those doctors. That God would save some of those pharmacists. That God would save some of those nurses who come. He will. He will. Oh, yeah. Okay, here's a Bible study that we had in our living room with these girls who had just come to know Christ. One of them had been a believer for about a year and a half. She was the oldest one. But they had their Bibles open and really asked some tough questions. And there's some of our colleagues. This was girls' night, and they'd all gathered together. And we have no idea why they all do this. We don't know. We got one more? Oh, yeah, and this was our last night together. They so much love that people would leave America, come over and teach English, and then be concerned about them. It is amazing. Just how they feel. Here's the doctors and nurses and pharmacists, just some of them, at the 3rd hospital, Nanchang. Meals, eating together. This is relationship. This is how it's formed. You just do life together. The second guy in from the end there, Bobo, he was the one who first began to express an interest in spiritual things. We had lunch together, and I began to tell him the gospel, gave him a Jesus film. The next man over, chief of emergency ICU, Bobo is the chief of ICU. The pharmacist, the head of nursing. God was bringing some people there. And how about the next picture? And then here's the doctor from another hospital. Her English name is Charlotte, and just a lovely, beautiful lady. Loves the Lord with all of her heart. She's in a Friday night group where she does the gospel bridge. And I would be back in the English group, and I could look up at the group. It was a pretty good-sized room. And one night, she gives the invitation, and 6 people in her group stand up to say they want to trust Christ. Man, I got a text that evening, you know, she said, 6 people. And she's got her hands full leading people to Christ, discipling them. Her name's Charlotte. Okay. let's just leave this picture up. It may be the last one. I want to go over the last two things that I learned. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, please. Part of this is going to be some things I talked about last time. John chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. Of course, this is the passage where Philip says, "Show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." Jesus says in verse 9, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves." Jesus is introducing again. He's introducing this business of union, shared properties. And he says, all those things, all those miracles you saw me do. He said, that wasn't me doing it. That was my Father in me doing his work. And he was explaining, this is the paradigm that God works with. He sent the Son. God lived through the Son. The Son was in the Father. The Father was in the Son. Shared properties. We call that union. And he said, and through that, you got to see what God is like. All those miracles and all those things he did and the power of God changing people's lives. That's how it works. I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. Got it? And I think it went right over their heads. But now, I want you to look at verse 20 of John 14. Now, Jesus has just told them that he's going away. You know, tomorrow is it. I'm going to die tomorrow. And this has got to be tough. I mean, they've been close now for 3 years. And he says in verse 18, he's not going to leave them as orphans. He said, I'm going to come. You're going to see me again. Because I live, you will live also. And then in verse 20, he says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father. Oh, now look at this new paradigm. I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, at this point in the past, I've said, okay, let's name some miracles, and we can all think of miracles that Jesus did. And we don't have any trouble understanding, hey, that was God working in Jesus. That was just the plan. That's how it works. We're all on that same page, right? Miracles, it was God working through Jesus. Now, in verse 20, and guys, this is huge. In verse 20, this is the new paradigm that this is how God works after the resurrection. Jesus said, yeah, my Father's still in me. I'm in my Father. But now here's where it changes. He said, you are going to be in me just like he was with God. You're going to be in me, and I'm going to be in you. And the works that happen, they're not going to be yours. They're going to be mine. Does everybody see the parallel here? In John chapter 14, he talks about the paradigm of God's working in the world through Jesus. God in me doing his works. And he says, but I'm going to be crucified and you're not going to see me. I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to come back. And when I come back, it's going to be me in you doing my work. That's the ministry post-resurrection. That's the ministry post-resurrection. Go over to John chapter 14. Now understand, this is all one evening, and this is his final talk with his disciples. Within hours, he's going to be arrested, and his ministry with them is over. In John chapter 15, he says this. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you." Now that's union. He's in us, and we are in him. We have shared properties. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." Now look at verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." How much is nothing?
Zero.
Okay. Not times not. Okay. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? Guys, this produces a humbling in ourselves. We have plans about the ministry. We have plans about the church. We have dreams that we'd like to see. And Jesus is saying, "That's wonderful, that's wonderful. Apart from me, you can do Now, let's look at the paradigm again. Jesus, all the miracles he did. Yeah, we're all about those miracles. Man, we believe every one of them. Yes. And he said, "Okay, you saw them. That was my Father working in me." The new paradigm is me working in you. Now, listen carefully. You got to abide in me, because apart from me, you can do But through Christ, the power of heaven, the power of the kingdom of God flows, and amazing things happen. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is a strategy for ministry. This is a strategy for ministry. Do not just blow this off and say, yeah, okay, that's great. Guys, this is the strategy for ministry. "For we are his workmanship." Who's that? Christ. We are Christ's workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Where did we hear that? Way back the night that he met with his disciples, he said, "Here's the new paradigm. I'm in you, and you are in me. We share properties. What's true of me is now true of you." That's called union. "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Guys, Ephesians 2:10 is a strategy for ministry. I learned that afresh and anew. I got sick. I was so sick. I put my head in my hands one morning and I looked at Sandy. No, I didn't even look at you. I just moaned. I said, "I cannot go on." And she said, "We've got to get you to a doctor." By the end of that day, Professor Liu was sitting next to me wanting to practice his English. They don't believe in shots, and they don't like to give pills. They are all about hooking you up to an IV. There's IV rooms as big as this room. "Professor Liu, you know, come on in here." And he sat down with me. And, you know, normally they get that little bag of saline. And, you know, they put the medicine in and you get it. He put a whopping bag up there. And I'm looking at it, you know, and you pay as you go. And I'm thinking, oh, man, he's sitting here. It appears that he's going to stay here for the whole bag, you know. And I thought, do I have enough money for this guy? And I said to the translator with me, I said, how much do I owe him? I didn't know Professor Liu had taught himself English at 60 years old. He understood every word I was saying. He said, before the translator could say much, he said, it is my duty. I found out later, I surmise, he hung the big bag so he could sit longer with me and listen to English. I was walking through life in Nanchang, and even in my sickness, God said, watch this. I got some good work ready. Okay, keep walking, Tim. You're right where I need you. And bingo. I get an entrance into a hospital that our city director had been praying about. How do we reach the professional class? We're all about university students, but he saw the professional class in Nanchang and nobody's reaching them. God, we got to get in there. God said, yeah, man, I've prepared. Tim's going to get sick, and then we're going to get him into this hospital, and this old guy who's been waiting for years, he's going to be right there. He's going to hook a whopping big bag of saline there. Tim's going to have to sit with him for about an hour and 20 minutes, and that's how it's going to get started. And that's exactly how it happened. Guys, Ephesians 2:10 is a strategy. You may think that as you walk through your life, I haven't walked around like this in a long time. You might think as you walk through your life that there's nothing exciting about my life and I'm just a whatever, or I just do whatever. No. Stop right there. Do you belong to Jesus? Yes. Amen. Is Christ in you? Yes. Are you in him? You are his workmanship. What is your job? What is your job as a Christian? Number one, you are to know him and love him and deepen your relationship with him. You are to abide in him. Guys, that's number one right there. From that, you will bear fruit. Don't get that mixed up, please. Even if you think, nothing's happening in my life. Just deepen your walk with him. Don't think that it always has to be wonderful works that are happening and thousands are getting saved like a Billy Graham crusade. No. You might be on the backside of the desert. That's okay. Grow to know him and love him because that's what he wants. I learned from Genesis, he created us for fellowship. He wanted relationship. He sent his son to die for you. Okay, now he's got you. There's a relationship there. Deepen your relationship first. Even if it's years. Deepen your relationship first. And then, as you walk through life, God has prepared good works. Now, who takes responsibility for the good works? God does. I'm telling you guys, Ephesians 2:10 is a strategy for ministry. Let me tell you one other way, and I'm going to wrap up. How are we doing? Oh, yeah. Has Joel told you anything about being ADD?
Joel didn't tell me, but I do know something.
Joel didn't tell you, but you recognized it. He gets it honest. His mother, no, I'm the world's worst. So when you take the train in China, especially in Nanchang, there's this huge room, and trains are leaving all the time, and you go through the ticket thing, and the Chinese people are very monochronic, which means they don't line up for anything. and they're all watching the big board there, and the train for Shenzhen, now boarding. Everybody's up, everybody's like this, and it's 1,000 people going through a slot more narrow than that aisle. And we're just all like this, and it is sensory overload. I'm not used to being on the trains anyway. I'm not used to everything that's going on. And I'm like, you know, I'm just looking. Don't mess up here, Tim. Get your ticket, got your ticket, got your passport, got everything ready. And all of a sudden, there's this guy right here. And my buddy said, hey, this guy's been working in Africa, and he lives here in Nha Trang, and he wants to talk to you. Yeah, whatever. You know, you get that all the time. They want to talk English. And really, I wasn't rude, but in my heart, I was going, yeah, whatever. I'm just trying to not get on the wrong train here. And the guy starts talking to me, kind of broken English. And then he says, I work in Africa. I'm a consultant for a mining company. Now, I love global business. I love to read about it. I love to study it. And I've been hearing about how China exploits Africa. You work there? Really? Okay, now, okay, yeah, let's walk along here. Tell me more. And I fish out a business card. And I give him the business card. We go through. He goes one way. I go to the other. And, you know, that was it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. As I was walking through life, going through the ticket line, getting on the train to Shenzhen, he brings a guy next to me. I had no idea. 3 weeks later, I get the email. It's just called Guy on Shenzhen Train. I don't know his name. And he says, hey, I'd love to hear more about America. I write back, hey, I'd love to hear more about how you guys are exploiting Africa. I didn't say that. I'd love to hear more about mining in Africa. He says, wonderful, so we meet. We arrange, and, you know, 3 weeks later, we meet at this restaurant. I don't know what he looks like. They're all about this tall, black hair and glasses. But he knows what I look like. He's standing there in front of the Pizza Hut. We meet, we go up to the restaurant, and some of you got the newsletter. There's a singer in the lounge next door. We can hardly hear each other, but we're talking, and all of a sudden, this guy just blurts out, I have a problem that I can't solve, and I don't know what to do. I went, can you see a doctor? I don't know what his problem is. And I said, what's your problem? He said, one day my parents will leave this world. What do I do? How can I solve this? How can I stop it? I can't stop it. What do I do? And it was one of those moments where you look around and go, are you kidding me? I just wanted to hear about mining in Africa. I took a deep breath and I said, yeah, this is a universal problem. We all have this problem. And I told him how my dad died at an early age. We all have Bibles on our phones. I just took out my phone, John 14, 1 through 6. I said, here, read this. The lounge singer got quiet, and he started reading out loud. In my father's house are many dwelling places, da, 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 da. And he stopped, and he said, is this the Bible? I said, yeah. And we talked some more, and we talked, and the lounge singer stopped just as he was reading in a loud voice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And every diner, it's a restaurant, it's packed. Everybody heard that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I thought to myself, you can't make this up. We met again at another restaurant. I paid this time. kind of a big deal. And then I got an email from him that said, my fiance and I fight a lot. He's living with her. And he said, could you tell me some things about how to have a happy marriage? Now, he's standing next to me wanting to talk English. Yeah, yeah, whatever. I just want to get on the train. And 2 months later, he's sitting in our living room talking about he wants to have a happy marriage, but he doesn't know how. And we told him some things. And then I remembered something that happened right in this room. Marty Pollack. Some of you remember Marty coming from China, married Yaching, and he ministered to Muslims. And he told us the story about how the Holy Spirit told him to pray right then. And he was afraid to because maybe nothing will happen and he'll look stupid. Well, this guy was talking to me about having a happy marriage. And I said to him, you know, I'll make sure I pray for you that God will help you with this. And he said, now? I remembered Marty standing here and saying, don't miss the opportunity. If the Holy Spirit says pray, you pray. And I said, yeah, now. He bowed his head. I prayed for him, prayed for his fiance. Finished the prayer. He opened his eyes, looked up. So Chinese. He said, I think I will believe in God. Now, please explain to me, how do you go from 1,000 people like sardines to he sits in our living room and says, I think I will believe in God. Folks, Ephesians 2:10 is a strategy for ministry. It follows closely understanding that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. It follows closely to abiding in him because except we abide in him, we can do nothing. But when we abide in him, miraculous things happen. I want to challenge you all, especially in the area of prayer. I heard this morning in our prayer time, praying for Vacation Bible School. Do you want to see people come to know Christ? Do you want to see children come to know Christ? I challenge you all. Pray. Pray for the power of God to come down upon the people who are going to be here at Bible school. Watch what God does. Walk through life abiding in him, and he will do amazing things in your life that you never imagined. I got to quit. Let's pray. Father, we absolutely do not deserve the very life of Christ living through us, affecting the kingdom of heaven. But you give us what we don't deserve, and we are so grateful. It is my prayer this morning that all of us would desire to know you and love you better, and that we would be abiding in you by simple faith. Knowing you, trusting you, loving you, allowing you to do your work. Please accomplish that. And we'll give you all the praise because it's all you. In Jesus' name, amen.